Life is your life as an individual is made complete by serving others. Hear me again. Your life, your individual life, all of our lives individually are completed in your act of serving others. It is those around you that make your life complete. You love your loved ones. You love some that you know don't love you. And yet you have on the inside of you that special touch that only a Christian can have, and that you within your own heart love them despite the way seemingly they feel about you. You love them. How do you know that? You make excuses for them. I've seen many family members do that. Well, he just can't help it. You know, he was just, had always been pushed aside as a kid. Well, get over it. Listen, folks, you and I have been so blessed. I mean, we have the special touch of Almighty God in our life. Now, don't be going back in the history and saying, woe is me, because we need to be too excited. I know Jesus. Jesus knows me. And Jesus says, here's what I want you to do with who you are, Larry. I'm going to call you. I'm going to give you some ability. Not all abilities. Maybe one or two. But what I give you, I want you to use to help someone else. I want you to be ready and willing not only to reach down in that ditch of life, I want you diving in on all fours. Amen. Because I am going to fill you with my spirit, and it'll be my spirit that is successful in your life. But I want you to acknowledge that. Acknowledge me so I can use you. Don't ever be afraid, no matter where you are. Doesn't matter what crowd you're in. Don't you ever be so fearful that you don't want them to know that you're a Christian. You'd be excited over getting to carry the banner of Christ in your life. You're not saved because you're good. You're saved because you humbly ask Jesus to come into your life and to save you. And Jesus did. And he says, now I want you to use your life. I want your life to be complete. The only way you can complete that fullness that our Lord wants you to have is in service to others. I don't care what they look like. I don't care whether you can understand their language or not. Love is a language in itself. The outstretched hand of love. Oh, my Savior did that a lot. He would reach out to those who were crawling up to him. It was our Savior who always was more than willing to look out over a crowd. And of all things, he goes over to send his disciples over to a kid. Get that kid over here. How many times would he put his arm around the children? And how many warnings did he give to the adults? Don't mess with one of these children. They belong to me, and their angels report to me continually of how they're being treated. Watch out. So God says, I want you to be made complete. And the way I want you to do it is I want you to serve others. I want you to give from your heart. Not reluctantly. Come on, folks. Not begrudgingly. Come on. You know, I don't have anything that my Savior didn't give me. I have absolutely nothing. I don't own anything. A proof of that will be when I leave this world, I ain't taking anything with me. But the exciting part about that is I am not going to need it, because my Savior came, and he came as a servant. Now, I want you to listen to Matthew 20, verse 26. Whoever wants to become great must be a servant to others. Now, servants and the servant heart is only counted as great in the realm of God. Well, that's the only counting that I'm interested in. I'm interested in God's count. Jesus knows my name. He shed his blood knowing my name. He took the beating knowing my name. And he looked at each one of us before the scripture says that time even existed. God has a plan. God's plan involves you. God looks to the heart of those who are born, and God says, I can do something with Randy Kidder. It won't be easy, but I can do something with that boy. You see, that's how much our Heavenly Father loves us. And then he sends Jesus to take care of all the small matters like evil, Satan, hell, death, dying, the grave. Son, go down and take care of this. And Jesus came, and he did. Now, listen to Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus is speaking here. You ready for this? For even I, Jesus is speaking, even I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many. Many? He gave his ransom for all, didn't he? Nope. Nope. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For the many who would call. Well, there's a lot that won't call. You know what your job is? Be about your Father's business. What he's called you to do. You be you. Please, be you. So therefore, Jesus said, for even I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many. I'm going to pay the ransom for your life, your eternal life, Larry Pete, means me conquering eternal death. And whosoever calls on my name will be saved. Larry, you're mine. Jesus came for me and you individually, because individually we're so important. You know, it seems like about every Sunday I hit this in one way or another. So I wish you all would hurry up and catch on to it so I can get on to something else. But it is a fact. God wants us to understand how important we are individually to one another. Oh, that I can't picture me not having my family. I don't want to think about that. But you see, I am so blessed knowing that I always will. Now, I'm just waiting for my ride. When the ride comes in, I'm leaving. I'm going to be with the Lord. The cheering up that I always try to give you all is this: don't you worry, you're not far behind. That's called life. I don't have time for death. Death has no control over me anymore. Even to the point, my Lord came as a servant so that I, he said, will never see death. I'll never see it. I am going to be in his arms before this body hits the floor.
Praise the Lord.
You ought to get excited over that. And ought to really get excited when you put your name there. You see, it's what Jesus has already done, not what I can do or will do. And when I said yes to him, I was given that peace. I love serving others. I love giving to others. It's a part of my ministry. It's a part of who I am as an individual. And God looks at us then as individuals. And he says, you are created for service. I created you to serve. So therefore, if I've created you to serve, I must come and I will show you that I too am the head of all servants. I did not come to be served, Jesus says. I came to serve others. And boy, he never stopped, never slowed down, always there, always ready to forgive, always expressing his love. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. That's why that you're not supposed to be mocking someone else. You're not supposed to be saying, well, they're not a real Baptist, because they don't do this or they don't do that. Well, good. Your pastor ain't a real one either. But I'll tell you this. Your pastor is an authentic Christian. I mess up. I make mistakes. Sometimes, you won't believe this, I will say things I shouldn't have said. Yep. Even talking to reporters, I've noticed. I may make a statement. But God still loves me because I'm his child. Now listen, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, how much advance before time began? I want to get into that. You might ask about that in a class one day. Before time existed, God set all things in motion. Well, why did he do this? Why did he do that? All of those questions you're asking, when you get to heaven, if you still have them on your mind, ask him. But you see, God says that he doesn't think like man thinks. He doesn't feel like man feels. That's why he sent Jesus, so that Jesus, his son, can feel from the human standpoint the human hurt, the human pain, the human brokenness. And once his son feels that, God then, through his son, knows every feeling and emotion that you will ever have. And he sent Jesus to take care of the things of life that would hinder each and every one of us individually. Romans 12:1. Because of God's great mercy for us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service. God did not call me to die for Him. He called me to live for Him. He said so. I want you to live for me. I want you to represent me. My son has already died to take care of the guilt of sin, the punishment of sin. My son's taken care of that. I want you to live. And he sent his Holy Spirit at Pentecostal revival. He sent his Holy Spirit that his Spirit would rest within each believer and give us direction, always giving us the protection. But he said, I want you to do it in service for me. What an honor. What an honor it is to be able to be in service for God. His name always lifted up. But you know, I'm afraid I'll let the Lord down. Why do you think that you're going to surprise God with your attitude or your personality? You think He doesn't know you? Do you really think He made a mistake when He blessed you so much in saving your soul? But I don't understand that kind of love. Well, it's godly love, agape love. It's a love that you and I don't understand because you haven't walked in His presence in His home yet, but you will. Then your spiritual eyes will be open. You know, when God created me and you for service, He also looked within our heart and He says this: I'm going to pour my Holy Spirit out in you, and I want you to know something. I have chosen you for a special service. Now, catch this one, please. No one ever been born or ever will be born that can feel that special service that God created you to feel. Only you. Now, you can't give it to somebody else. Don't have that. God gave it for you. This, what an honor. What an honor that our Creator, the God who loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that He loved us and chose us for a special service in His name. You have a purpose. Well, you know, I just don't understand it, Pastor. Well, if you understood it, I dare say it probably wasn't a gift from God. You won't understand how God works in your life, why He's chosen you. We make all those off-the-wall comments. I can't believe that God would call an old hard-headed Marine like me to do anything. And all the people who know you say, we don't either. But He did. See, God looks at you as that individual that He loved and saw before time began. God was already creating you in His heart to serve one another. God wanted us to understand the power of His Son Jesus. The power of His Son Jesus. How do I understand that? I read the book. I pray. I know what the Lord has done for me on the inside. I know what He's given me on the outside. But now, what are we missing? I'll tell you what we're missing. we're missing the filling back, the refilling of the church. The church is the body of Christ.
Right.
We're missing the body. We have decided, I am a Christian, therefore I can worship the Lord no matter where I am, on the lake, doing this, doing that. Yes, you can, but seldom do you. Yes, you can, but you still, individual, do not represent the body of Christ. The body of Christ can only be represented by the body of believers united together, doing what? Bringing our individuality that's been blessed by God, bringing every gift together. We're chosen. 2 Timothy 1:9. It is God who saved us and chose us for His holy work. The Lord saved you. You didn't do that. The Lord saved you. Galatians 1 verse 15. God in His grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve Him. Listen to Paul. Before I was born, God chose me. Before I was born, God called me. It's God's plan. Paul was one person. All the disciples, one individual. All the prophets, one individual. All the great names that you remember of Scripture, they were just one. You get them all together, all in the will of God, all asking for that Pentecostal revival within their heart, where the Holy Spirit is working in each individual and being open-minded and open-hearted to service to others. You watch the blessings. I don't care what the economy looks like. God happens to own it all. He'll bless your life. He'll give you the peace you're looking for. And then each individual Christian, united together, representing the body of Christ in a church unit, a church fellowship, the Holy Spirit will work in mighty ways, and His miracles will be performed. You want the power? Do you want the power enough to where you'll unite together and love one another, respect one another, encourage one another, and use your individual gift to help the body? For when you help the body, you're helping our Lord and Savior, who happens to be the head of the church. Head of the church is not a pastor. It's not a committee. It's not deacons. It's not elders. It's not any of that. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I've loved you so much that in the last days, what was He talking about? Well, He's talking about what's going on now. Folks, He was talking about that first century church that ushered in the end times. When Jesus came, His coming ushered in the beginning of the end of the age. We've been in it for over 2,000 years. A lot has gone on over this 2,000 years. We've watched nations rise, nations fall. Oh, and we've listened to people who come saying that they are Christ. Don't you believe any of that stuff? When Jesus comes, you'll know it. And many leading and pulling away from the church. oh, we don't need to do this and we don't need to do that. Oh, I'll sit at home and watch. That's good. It's good that you sit at home and you watch and you listen. Let me tell you what's not good. If when you hear, you don't unite back together as God's body in God's church with God's people. Yeah, but that preacher. Well, forget him. What has your Savior ever done to push you away? Jesus says, it's my church. My church. You united together with each little talent put together. You represent me. And folks, when you unite together, walking in the name of a holy God, watch out, world, because you're over your head. We have been given special service abilities. I told you, you're the only one that's got that ability. Nobody else. Here it goes. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you, each individually, each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Ah, that's almost scriptural, ain't it, Brother Randy? Think of that. God said, this is what I want you to do with you. Well, I just don't know what to do with myself. How about use your special talent that God has given you and you use it to glorify God among His people, in His house, and build His body. Why do people mock the church today? I'll tell you something. The most of the lost people that I know, they don't have any trouble with Jesus at all. Jesus is not their trouble. They love listening to the word. Well, some of the hardest core criminals that I preached to in prisons and jails over all those many years, they love Chaplain Vance to come and tell them the stories from the Bible about how God works. They like the stories. Well, don't you see that you and I united together, you and I together with that special ability that God has given us. I don't know what it is. Bring it to the Lord and let Him show you what it is. Present yourself as being present. Now, preacher, do you think that'll make a difference? It's not what I think. I don't care what I think. But I can tell you what the Bible says. Nowhere in Scripture will you ever find when God's body of believers united together in brotherly love. Pentecost was a big, big picture of this. And all in one love sequence, caring about one another. When they united together, all heaven came down. And every heart lifted up, every spirit filled, and the power of God was recognized. It's the body together. It hurts when you lose a part of a body. Ask my amputees. Ask Brother Bob as he's up at VA today, getting ready to take more of his foot or leg. Ask him what it means to lose a part. And then look at the churches in our land today, and you will see the devastation of those who have walked away from the greatest love they've ever known. You combine each individual together in service. That equals the body of Christ, the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. All of you together, got it? Are the one body of Christ. I told you, I'll tell you what the Bible says. What you do with it's between you and God. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each of you individually is a separate and necessary part of it. You're necessary. We need to understand that in our life. You're necessary. You're necessary for love. You're necessary for peace. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's watching. Do they see Jesus in you more than they see the world? Jesus says, let's come together in peace, in love, in one accord. You know what that accord is? In accordance with what Jesus says. In one accord. In accord of the, with the Bible, the Holy Word of God. Coming together. I am not a judge. You're not a judge. You are an individual part of the body of Jesus Christ. Get about God's business. Do your part. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us so much. We thank you, dear Lord God, that you even count us as a part. And you told us, Father, there's no such thing as a small part. Each part put together causes an enormous, powerful outflow of your Holy Spirit. Touch us now. Touch our life as an individual, and that we might put it in service to our Savior at some fellowship where our God calls us. For we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.